In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. And more believers were added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. We just heard in our reading from the book of Acts. The Holy Church places us in the book of Acts for our epistle reading during the Paschal season and gives us our glimpse at the phenomenon which was the newborn apostolic church, where we behold the tireless preaching and courage and miracles of the apostles drawing the multitudes to Christ, speaking to the people all the words of this life. All the words of this life, this life. We have before us as well today, on this St. Thomas Sunday, the Apostle Thomas, his doubt, and the removal of his doubt by seeing the risen Christ, and the exhortation and blessing to us all by the Lord, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That applies to us in our generation and to dozens of generations before us. Brothers and sisters, as believers in Christ, we still at times fall prey to doubt, to the temptation of questioning. Doubt is sometimes provoked by hardships and tragedies in life in a fallen world. But doubt sometimes just appears out of the blue in a moment of thought for no apparent reason. The Church Fathers say that such thoughts, especially in this latter example, are always from the demons. From the demons trying to sow confusion, to undermine us, to weaken our resolve, our faith, and especially to cool our hearts towards prayer. And one can understand the martyrs having a moment of human weakness, of doubt, before facing brutality and death for Christ. But these irrational, unprovoked little thoughts of doubt that appear are from the enemy of our soul. And as such, we must reject them out of hand and say no to them. There's the thought also that comes with it that flatters us for our doubt and questioning and tells us we're sophisticated and intellectual and thoughtful. We think about things that we're not simple believers. We struggle with our faith. Well, nonsense. Nonsense. Nonsense from hell. Nonsense from hell and from our own ego. Let us not, as they say nowadays, overthink the problem. Let us not overthink the problem or allow thoughts to overthink us. But open our eyes to see before us the obvious. To see before us the obvious. If Christ is not risen, there would be no church. If Christ is not risen, there would be no church. No church today, no church yesterday. If Christ is not real and not risen from the dead, there would have been no church for 20 days, let alone for over 2,000 years. Why do we say that? Very simply, at the time of the crucifixion, it was all over. It was all over. The full weight of the Pharisees' hatred and the full weight of the Roman political machine had fallen upon Jesus. The apostles were hiding in terror and fear, were assembled for fear of the Jews, our gospel says, the doors being shut. They were locked away hiding. Everything was lost. Everything was lost. No movement, no church was coming from them. No sign of life, of this life. They were crushed, devastated. They had no message, even if they could muster the courage. What was the message? Jesus was a great guy. He's dead, like other prophets. And then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. And he showed them his hands and his side, his resurrected body, previously wounded and dead. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. To remit is to pardon, to forgive. We speak of remission of sins, the pardon, the forgiving, forgiveness of sins. And so even before Pentecost began the church as an apostolic spirit-led mission to the world. Where there was no courage, now there was tremendous courage. Where there was no hope, now there was all hope. When there was no future, now the future was clear. The time of the crucifixion, there was nothing, no hope and nothing. After the resurrection, the apostles went forth boldly preaching the risen Christ, even at the risk of their own death, which would be the case with all of them except John. That simple. It's that simple. If Christ is not risen, there'd be no church. There would be no church. What had changed? Only the empty tomb, only the Lord's appearance. That was the change. That changed everything. There could have been no other motivation. Think of it clearly. There could have been no other motivation, no other justification, no other catalyst to explain the apostles about face. To go from hiding in fear to preaching Christ in the temple and in the marketplace. Understood, understand, tell your thoughts. Without the resurrection of Christ, there would be no church, not in the first century, not down to today. No way. No way. The apostles carried with them the message of peace, of the peace of Christ against the powerful of this world. Christianity, unlike others, was never a religion of the sword. Being a religion of the sword would make more worldly sense. You come and conquer and convert and force the message. Christianity did not attack the towns and villages. It came in the peace of the risen Christ and in the power of the Spirit with no other weapons needed and with grace abundant and with miracles at hand. And for their message, the Christians were killed, were martyred, sometimes by the hundreds and by the thousands. But the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. The more they tried to kill it, the more the church kept growing and growing and moving forward. The church persisted and grew against all odds, against relentless persecution and apparent defeats. People would run and join the martyrs and say, I'm a Christian too. Let me be killed also. They were so impressed with the courage of God's people. And then the great miracle after the miracle of Pentecost, you could say, is the conversion of the empire. That the empire, the Roman Empire, the pagan Roman Empire that fought against the message of Christ for 3 centuries, itself gave in. Became the Christian Roman Empire. Imagine that. Imagine that. After Constantine converted the empire, an emperor or two after him was Julian the Apostate, later in the 4th century, who tried to turn the clock back, who tried to reinforce paganism in the public square. He eventually would die a violent death with the words on his lips, You have defeated me, Nazarene. Because he fighting against Christ and fighting against the church. Of course, there's more to the story than the outward sign of the church's ongoing existence. There's the church in you. There's the church in here. There's the risen Lord Jesus Christ living in you, who have beheld him mystically and with Thomas have declared in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, my Lord and my God. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen.